related to COVID-19 and death rates and other information that is filtering out according to the data. Then we'll be moving on to news about the vaccines. And then finally, we'll bring a couple of articles to your attention that are related to the economy and also a proposed stimulus package. First, we'll take a look at the numbers from our local sources. I need to note that the Odessa American reports that Ector County numbers are not being updated daily. So what they have here is ECISD cases. Today, those daily cases, 8 students and 5 staff. Underneath where they print these numbers on the front page, they do have a small section that is providing good information about vaccines in Odessa. And I'm going to read those to you right now. COVID-19 vaccines. Walgreens is currently delivering vaccinations to long-term care facilities and will eventually have vaccines for the public. HEB has requested more COVID-19 vaccine from the state of Texas. Once they have vaccine, eligible customers can sign up using the scheduler to receive a COVID-19 vaccine at no cost. The CVS stores will soon have the no-cost COVID-19 vaccine available. They will administer in a phased approach based on state guidelines when available to pharmacies. Medical Center Hospital, the incident command, is working with MCH for vaccine plans for the community. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is expecting COVID-19 vaccine soon. The vaccine is free of charge while supplies last. Please check on vaccine availability. For more, call 432-582-8549. I'd also like to draw your attention to a front page article in today's Odessa American, which will be read in our newspaper program at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And that's MCH plans mass vaccines starting Monday. Again, you'll be able to hear that article in its entirety during our newspaper broadcast at 3 o'clock. Midland Reporter Telegram's article about the numbers today also include information about the occupancy rate. It says the Midland COVID occupancy rate in the region is the second lowest in the state. The percentage of COVID patients inside hospitals across the Midland-Odessa region continues to drop. In fact, the 11.73% on Tuesday was the second lowest of all the 22 regions across the state, trailing only Wichita Falls region. But the DSHS also shows the rate dropped from 16.22% on Saturday to 15.96% on Sunday, and then 13.03% Monday. Midland Health reported Wednesday that the percentage of COVID patients compared to the total number of inpatients was 27%. Midland Health also reported that there are 67 active cases in either the critical care unit or on the COVID floor. Midland Health reports that 266 of Midland Memorial Hospital's 295 total inpatient rooms, 90%, were occupied on Wednesday. Other numbers in the Wednesday report included a 21.0% positivity rate at Midland Health testing sites and 101 positive tests through Tuesday. Last week, Midland Health reported 403 positive cases during the entire week. The city of Midland did report a COVID-19 related death on Wednesday. A male in his 70s died January 4th. He was being treated at Midland Memorial Hospital. City officials reported he had underlying health conditions. He's the 201st resident from Midland County to die from complications of the coronavirus. From the Texas Tribune, average new cases in Texas increased by 3,623 cases, compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 13th, 22,270 new confirmed cases and 4,538 new probable cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 478 patients compared with a week ago. As of January 13th, 14,106 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths increased by 89 deaths compared with the 7-day average in Texas a week ago. On January 13th, 405 new deaths were reported. First, here are coronavirus briefs. The virus has recently claimed a life every 8 minutes in Los Angeles County as California and Arizona confront a growing caseload. A team from the World Health Organization arrived in China to study the source of the pandemic. Representative Adriano Espelot, Democrat of New York, announced on Thursday he had tested positive for the coronavirus as concerns continue to mount on Capitol Hill that efforts to corral lawmakers into secure locations during last week's siege have led to a super spreader event. Infections remain comparatively rare among children, but are rising, the CDC says. Germany reports its highest ever single-day death toll. Pope Francis gets first dose of vaccine. UK bans arrivals from several Latin American countries due to Brazilian virus variant. 16 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19 since January 6th. And taking a cue from the battered restaurant industry during the pandemic, the Girl Scouts of the USA said this week that they would offer contactless delivery and pickup of their cookies through Grubhub. Now here are short articles. U.S. reports more than 224,000 COVID-19 cases from CNN's Joe Sutton in Atlanta. The United States reported 224,258 new COVID-19 cases and 3,848 additional deaths on Wednesday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The latest figures bring the nationwide total to 23,071,895 infections, and at least 384,653 people have died from the virus in the U.S. The totals include cases from all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and other U.S. territories, as well as repatriated cases. At least 29,380,125 vaccine doses have been distributed, and at least 10,278,462 shots administered, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More than 90,000 Americans could die of COVID-19 in next 3 weeks, CDC forecast shows, from CNN's Christina Maxoris. More than 38,000 Americans have died of COVID-19 in the first 2 weeks of the new year. Another 92,000 are projected to die from the virus over roughly the next 3 weeks, according to an ensemble forecast published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The numbers are scary and reflect what public health experts have repeatedly warned. While the end is in sight, with the help of ongoing COVID-19 vaccinations, the nation is still facing challenging times ahead. Currently, more than 130,300 people are hospitalized with the virus, according to data from the COVID Tracking Project. In Pennsylvania, officials said the number of hospitalizations are nearing double the peak experienced during spring. Louisiana governor said earlier this week the state was seeing a huge spike in infections and hospitalizations. And in Arizona, officials reported Tuesday record high COVID-19 hospitalizations and ICU numbers. Hundreds of thousands of infections are added to the country's tally every single day, with the U.S. adding more than 3 million new reported infections since the start of the month. In Los Angeles County, about 1 in 3 residents has been infected with the virus since the pandemic start, according to data published by county officials. Outbreaks have increased across workplaces as well as schools and daycare settings, they said. Echoing other leaders' warnings, the LA officials added that they have not yet fully seen the effect of transmission in the period from around Christmas to New Year's. And with all eyes now turned to the nation's capital ahead of Inauguration Day, cases in Washington, D.C. have never been higher. Right now, it's averaging more than 320 new cases every day, about a 38% jump from the previous week. D.C. has reported a total of more than 32,600 COVID-19 cases since the pandemic start, about 10% of which have been added this year. The U.S. just suffered its worst day ever for COVID-19 deaths, but this summer could be dramatically better. From CNN's Christina Maxoris and Holly Yan. COVID-19 is now killing faster than at any point in 2020, and the new year just started. Over the past week, the U.S. has averaged more than 3,300 deaths every day, a jump of more than 217% from mid-November. More than 3 million new U.S. cases have been reported in the first 13 days of the year. As of Wednesday, more than 23 million Americans have been infected with the virus, a million more than just 4 days earlier, according to Johns Hopkins University data. Why June could be dramatically better. While those awful numbers will likely continue this winter, better months are coming, said Dr. Paul Offit, a member of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. Mass vaccinations, warmer weather, a new presidential administration, and a population-building immunity could lead to a dramatically better summer, he said. Two remarkably effective vaccines are already being administered, and two more vaccines from Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are right around the corner, Offit said. Americans are dying in greater numbers this year, and not just because of the virus. From the New York Times, Roni Karen Raven. Deaths from all causes rose sharply during the second quarter of 2020 as the pandemic took hold in the United States, reaching levels last seen 75 years ago, according to provisional figures released on Thursday by the National Center for Health Statistics. Overall, the unadjusted death rate for all Americans rose to 1,033.7 per 100,000 in the second quarter of 2020. That's up from 850.8 per 100,000 Americans during the second quarter of 2019. The last time the death rate exceeded that figure was in 1945, the year World War II ended, when there were 1,058 deaths for every 100,000 Americans. Rates had steadily declined since then, said Robert Anderson, chief of the Mortality Statistics Branch of the Center. The overall death rate attributed specifically to COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, was 136.2 deaths per 100,000 Americans during the 3 months of April, May, and June of 2020. But deaths from several other leading causes, including diabetes, stroke, heart disease, and hypertension, also increased. Deaths related to cancer, which have been declining for some time, continued to drop. The new figures also highlight the unique threat that COVID-19 poses to men. Men died of COVID-19 at far higher rates than women during the second quarter of last year, with 148.1 deaths per 100,000 compared to 124.6 per 100,000 for women. When the figures were adjusted to account for age differences between the sexes, the disparities were even more stark. The COVID-19 death rate for men was 133.9 per 100,000 during the second quarter of 2020, compared with 86.9 per 100,000 for women. The report is not the first to show that the pandemic has increased deaths from a variety of causes. In addition to the nearly 200,000 American deaths caused directly by COVID-19 from January 26 to October 3rd, another roughly 100,000 so-called excess deaths from other causes were reported, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently reported. The greatest rate of excess deaths was found among young adults and people of color. Calculations of the death toll from injuries, a category that includes suicide, homicide, drug overdoses, and firearm deaths, were not included in the new data, as reporting on these deaths frequently lags. But a separate NCHS provisional report on drug overdose deaths during the 12-month period ending in June 2020 found an 18% increase over the previous year to 79,251 deaths, up from 67,821 deaths during the previous 12-month period ending in June 2019. In total, there have been more than 384,000 known virus-related deaths in the United States. As of Wednesday, the 7-day average was 3,346 deaths a day, according to a New York Times database. And now here are some articles related to immunity and vaccinations. Past COVID infection gives 5 months of immunity, study suggests, from CNN's Zamira Rahim in London. People who have recovered from COVID-19 may have immunity to the virus for around 5 months, according to preliminary findings in a new study led by Public Health England, PHE. The Siren Research examined the impact of infection on more than 20,000 health workers from across the UK, and a preprint of the study found only 44 cases among 6,614 people who were thought to have been previously infected. The study, which has not yet been peer-reviewed, concluded that past infection reduces the chances of catching the virus again by 83% for at least 5 months. About 6,000 of the healthcare workers were people who had evidence of having had SARS-CoV-2 infection, and about 14,000 of the healthcare workers were people who had no evidence of previous SARS-CoV-2 infection. Tom Wingfield, senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, told the UK's Science Media Centre. The findings suggest that reinfection rates in the positive cohort were 83% lower than the negative cohort during the follow-up period. But researchers warned that the protection was not total and that it was unclear how long any immunity lasts. They also said it's possible people who have a degree of immunity against the virus will still be able to transmit it to others. Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine generates immune response and few side effects in early trials. From CNN's Maggie Fox. Early stage trials of Johnson & Johnson's experimental coronavirus vaccine showed it generated an immune response in nearly all volunteers, with minimal side effects after a single dose. The company expects to report details of more advanced trials later this month and is hoping to apply for authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration soon after. Researchers who tested the vaccine in a combined phase 1-2 trial, mostly meant to show safety, found either one or two doses of the vaccine generated both antibody and T-cell responses against the coronavirus. The trials were not designed to show whether the vaccine protected people against either infection or symptoms of coronavirus. That's where the ongoing phase 3 trials are designed to do. Writing in the New England Journal of Medicine, an international team of researchers who tested the vaccine and around 800 volunteers said the early stage trials showed it was safe and probably should work. The researchers in the Netherlands, the United States, and Belgium tested the vaccine in a group of people 65 and older and a group ages 18 to 55. Vaccination elicited neutralizing antibodies, expected to stop the virus from infecting cells, in 90% of all participants by the 29th day after the first dose of the vaccine, and in all of them by 2 months after the first dose. The levels of these antibodies stayed stable for at least 71 days, they reported. Nursing home workers are refusing vaccines. Employers are offering incentives. From the New York Times, Rebecca Robbins, Sabrina Tavernis, and Sharon Otterman. Anxious about taking a new vaccine and scarred by a history of being mistreated, many frontline workers at hospitals and nursing homes are balking about being inoculated against the coronavirus. But hospitals and nursing homes, worried about their patients' health and scarred by many thousands of deaths in the past year, are desperate to have their employees vaccinated. These opposing forces have led to unusual measures. In addition to educating workers about the benefits of the vaccines, employers are dangling incentives like cash, extra time off, and even Waffle House gift cards for those who get inoculated, while in at least a few cases, threatening to fire those who refuse. Officials at two large long-term chains in the United States, Juniper Communities and Astria Senior Living, said they were requiring their workers, with limited exceptions, to be vaccinated if they want to keep their jobs. "For us, this was not a tough decision," said Lynn Katzman, Juniper's chief executive. "Our goal is to do everything possible to protect our residents and our team members and their families." Critics say it is unethical to strong-arm low-paid workers into being vaccinated. This is a population of people who have been historically ignored, abused, and mistreated, said Dr. Mike Wasserman, a geriatrician and former president of the California Association of Long-Term Medicine. It is laziness on the part of anyone to force these folks to take a vaccine. I believe that we need to be putting all of our energy into respecting, honoring, and valuing the work they do and educating them on the benefits to them and the folks that they take care of in getting vaccinated. A survey of about 5,900 employees at Jackson Health System in Miami found that only half wanted to get a vaccine immediately, a hospital spokeswoman said. Others said they would consider it later. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine said last month that roughly 60% of nursing home workers had declined vaccination. In New York City, at least 30% of healthcare workers said no to the shot in the first round, Mayor Bill de Blasio said on Monday. Pharmacy chains want to help U.S. struggles to help vaccinate people against COVID. From CNN's Gregory Lemos and Samira Said. The United States may be struggling to vaccinate citizens against the coronavirus, but pharmacy chains say they can help speed up the bulky rollout. Pharmacists nationwide will have the capacity to administer 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine once supply is available. Steven Anderson, president and CEO of the National Association of Chain Drugstores, said Wednesday. Based on conservative assumptions, pharmacies have the capacity to meet the demand for 100 million vaccine doses in 1 month when that level of the vaccine supply is available, Anderson told reporters on a phone call Wednesday. So far, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. has vaccinated only about 10 million people and distributed just over 29 million doses of vaccine. States say they are struggling to vaccinate people in part because of lack of public health infrastructure. Pharmacy chains say they can help fill that gap. NACDS represents 40,000 pharmacies and 155,000 pharmacists, according to Anderson. The group says 90% of Americans live within 5 miles of a retail drugstore, and the dormant Federal Pharmacy Partnership Program could open the door to harnessing the capacity of chain pharmacies. America's retail pharmacies can easily administer 100 million vaccine doses in 30 days, the group said in a statement. This solution could easily be ramped up even further as stores deploy more vaccinators. Pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, pharmacy interns, nurses, clinic physicians, EMTs, and others. And now to the economic effects of the pandemic. Unemployment claims jump sharply, showing the pandemic's continuing economic toll, by the New York Times' Sydney Ember. New claims for state unemployment benefits sharply increased last week as the resurgent pandemic continued to batter the economy. A total of 1.15 million workers filed initial claims for state unemployment benefits during the first full week of the new year, the Labor Department said. Another 284,000 claims were filed for pandemic unemployment assistance, an emergency federal program for freelancers, part-time workers, and others normally ineligible for state jobless benefits. Neither figure is seasonally adjusted. On a seasonally adjusted basis, new state claims totaled 965,000. It was the first week since July in which the unadjusted number of new state claims exceeded 1 million. Before the pandemic, weekly filings typically totaled around 200,000. Economists have been bracing for a fresh wave of claims as the virus battered the service industry. The government reported last week that the economy shed 140,000 jobs in December, the first drop in employment since last spring, with restaurants, bars, and hotels recording steep losses. Today's report shows that we're in a deep economic hole and we're digging in the wrong direction, said Daniel Zhao, senior economist with the career site Glassdoor. The report obviously shows that the rise in claims is worse than expected, and there is reason to think that things are going to get worse before they are going to get better. The holidays may have temporarily depressed unemployment claims in previous weeks, with people delaying filing for benefits until the new year. But several economists expressed skepticism that filing delays were a major driver of the uptick of claims last week. I don't think there's any question that on the margin there could be some unusual things going on, said Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate. But we have to think also about the fact that these are not our grandfather's unemployment lines, meaning much of this is done digitally. I think if one just tries to understand human nature, it doesn't make a lot of sense that someone would be delaying a request for financial assistance when they're out of work. More likely, economists say, is that the availability of a $300 federal supplement to other unemployment benefits, part of the $900 billion stimulus package that President Trump signed into law last month, prompted an increase in demand for benefits. The labor market has rebounded somewhat since the initial coronavirus wave in the spring, but of the 22 million jobs that disappeared, nearly 10 million remain lost. Compared to then, we are doing better, said Anne Elizabeth Conkle, an economist at the career site Indeed, referring to the spring. But compared to the pre-COVID era, we still have so far to go. Still, economists and analysts see better times ahead. As more people are vaccinated, cases will begin to fall, which will ease restrictions on businesses and could lead to a resurgence in consumer activity, helping to revive the service industry. Perhaps more immediately, President-elect Joe Biden has pledged to put forward a stimulus package that would provide relief to individuals, small businesses, students, schools, and local governments. And that is where this next story leads us. Biden aides told congressional allies to expect COVID relief package with roughly $2 trillion price tag, from CNN's MJ Lee and Paul LeBlanc. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to unveil a major COVID-19 relief package on Thursday, and his advisors have recently told allies in Congress to expect a price tag in the ballpark of $2 trillion, according to two people briefed on the deliberations. The Biden team is taking a shoot-for-the-moon approach with the package, one lawmaker in close contact with them told CNN, though they added that the price tag could still change. The proposal will include sizable direct payments to American families, significant state and local funding, including for coronavirus vaccine distribution and other emergency spending measures, to help those struggling during the pandemic. Biden is set to announce the details of his plan in Wilmington, Delaware, Thursday evening. Democrats hold only the slimmest of majorities in the House and the Senate, and Republicans have recently resisted efforts to pass COVID-19 relief on a multi-trillion-dollar scale. But Biden's party believes it may have only a brief window to pass sweeping relief legislation, and the president-elect has faced significant pressure from some Democrats to go big. Brian Deese, Biden's pick to lead the National Economic Council, said Wednesday at a conference that the package will include $2,000 stimulus checks and address other relief measures like unemployment insurance. Biden's early focus on a sweeping relief package reflects the political reality that his first year in office will be defined by his ability to combat the virus and stave off an economic collapse. That's your coronavirus update for this Thursday, January 14th, 2021. From the Recording Library of West Texas, I'm Michael, and coming up next, we will bring you the magazine Healthy Life to take us up to 2 o'clock, and at that time, of course, we'll have national news from USA Today. At 3 o'clock, it's local news, and here are some of the articles that our volunteers are reading. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Cudd charged. FBI arrests Jenny Cudd. Floral shop owner is one of two Midlanders charged for capital arrests, released on PR bond. Coronavirus. MMH says rural residents won't be without vaccinations. Energy. Petroleum Hall of Fame inductees announced. Pfluger introduces bill to stand up for oil and gas. Freshman representative's bill would prevent moratorium on drilling permits on federal lands. And from the Odessa American, Midlanders charged in connection to Capitol riots. MCH plans mass vaccines starting Monday. An online link to register is coming soon. And from the inside pages, there's an article regarding in-person versus virtual learning, and that is Odessa College staying on its toes. Also, Permian ISDs receive $978 million in oil and gas property taxes. Counties receive $334 million. Those newspaper articles and more are coming up at 3 o'clock. At 6, more national and business news from the Wall Street Journal. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, we have our Texas Monthly Archives program. And we have, first of all, the conclusion, of our article that we began last week, Death of a Texas Ranger. And then we'll have a second true crime article from the past issues of Texas Monthly Magazine that will fill out the rest of the hour. That's at 7 o'clock on Texas Monthly Archives. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. We appreciate you listening, and we hope that you have a great day. Stay safe and be well.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 52 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is made available to the IAAIS Program Share and was recorded at the Audio Reading Service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Personal Best, and I'll begin with Save Time for Exercise. For most of us, screen time has significantly increased our sitting time. In 2018, an American Cancer Society 21-year study of 127,000 people linked prolonged sitting time with a higher risk of death from all causes, including cancer, cardiovascular diseases, lung, liver, and digestive diseases, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. Let this be a driving factor in reducing your sitting and fitting in some daily exercise. Finding time for fitness activities can be challenging for folks with work and family demands. First, consider the rewards of regular exercise, protecting your health and feeling your best. Second, make exercise a priority. And third, don't make excuses with every little interruption that comes along. Here's a few ways to stay motivated. Wear a fitness tracker. Involve family and friends. Recruit a lunchtime walking partner. Let your dog inspire you to go outdoors. Enjoy outdoor sports. Lift weights during TV time. Make physical chores count inside and outside. Stand up during phone calls, email checks, and online searches. Take the stairs and walk whenever you find opportunities. Break it up. If you can't always fit in a 30-minute workout, shorter bursts of physical activity can count toward the overall goal of 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity cardio activity. Or try vigorous intensity aerobic activities, such as jogging or elliptical training, for 75 minutes a week or 15 minutes 5 days a week, but make it a habit. Be heart smart when shoveling snow. It can significantly stress your cardio system, similar to being at peak exercise during a stress test. For those not physically fit, such exertion can lead to heart attack, especially in the cold when arteries tend to constrict and increase blood pressure. Warm up your muscles before starting to shovel. Stop immediately if you feel any chest pain, become lightheaded or short of breath, or your heart starts racing, and go inside and rest if you become tired. Don't try to do it all in one round. Take frequent breaks and stay hydrated. Vaccines are vital. Before the 1950s, serious diseases included polio, measles, and diphtheria sickened hundreds and thousands of people in the U.S. Thousands died each year. Fortunately, with vaccines, these diseases now occur rarely in the U.S., but some infectious diseases still exist elsewhere and can be brought here. The fact that most of us are vaccinated against these diseases prevents possible causes from becoming epidemic. Ensure your children are properly immunized to guard against any resurgence of diseases. Jose Andres says, I love to talk about cooking and recipes, but I love as much talking about how food and cooking can change the world. The tip of the month is about omelets. Omelets are delicious, nutritious, and infinitely customizable. Making individual omelets rather than one large one will result in fluffier omelets that are easier to flip. The ideal nonstick skillet for a 3-egg omelet is 8 inches with sloping sides so you can easily slide the omelet onto a plate. Make sure your skillet is very hot before you add the eggs, and then be patient. Let it set up before you flip it, or you'll end up with scrambled eggs. Better breakfast menu. Do you ever start the day with a sugary donut but feel hungry about an hour later? The food you choose at breakfast can set your energy level and hunger cues for the whole morning, so make smart selections. Starting the day with white flour and sugar won't provide the nutrients you need for long-lasting energy. Plain bread, pastries, or sugary cereal are digested quickly, which spikes blood sugar levels and leaves you feeling hungry again. A better plan? Introduce foods rich in protein and fiber at breakfast or lunchtime. This plan can help combat type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Protein-rich foods provide a feeling of fullness because they are digested slowly. This helps you feel satisfied longer and may curb your cravings for sweets. Try eggs, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, peanut butter, beans, cow's milk, or alternative milks made from soy or peas. Most almond and rice beverages contain little protein. And bulk up with fiber. Like protein, fiber helps promote satiety, feeling full. Include any of these rich fiber foods at breakfast. Nuts, seeds, vegetables, fruit, whole grains, bran, beans, or lentils. Some healthy fats at breakfast also help you digest the meal more slowly. Fat is found in nuts, seeds, avocado, and cheese. Some winning breakfast combinations include peanut butter and banana oatmeal, vegetable omelet with whole grain toast, Greek yogurt parfait with nuts and berries, cottage cheese and fruit sprinkled with seeds, black bean, tomato, and egg burritos, bran cereal with milk and fruit, whole grain toast with cheese and tomato, Greek yogurt, green smoothies. William Feather said, success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. Still haven't had your flu shot? It's far better to get it now than not at all. Having the flu can be miserable, cause missed work, and sometimes is life-threatening, primarily in people with chronic health conditions. The CDC says everyone, with rare exceptions, age 6 months and older, including pregnant women, should get vaccinated against the flu as soon as possible. When vaccines closely match flu viruses in circulation, the risk of getting the flu is reduced 40 to 60% among the overall population. For the 2019-2020 flu season, flu vaccines reduced provider visits for flu illnesses by 45% as of June 2020, according to the CDC. Tame the seasonal craze. Holiday shopping, cooking, decorating, and festivities are fun but can also cause stress. Exhaustion, occasional family squabbles, and feelings of sadness when things don't go as planned can dampen holiday spirits. Don't let the seasonal rush get you down. Plan ahead and stick to a budget. take care of you, and set aside family differences. Consciously decide to accept friends and relatives as they are and leave political and other contentious subjects off the table. Remember, it's okay to say no. You don't have to participate in every activity or cook an elaborate meal if you'd rather not. And accept your feelings. Life isn't always happy, even during the holidays. If you're sad or anxious, reach out to friends and family and seek counseling if necessary. Signs of compulsive spending? Answer. Increased buying around the holidays differs from addictive spending, which feels irresistible. Compulsive spenders persist even when items go unused, cause distress, or lead to financial problems. Surges of dopamine, a feel-good brain chemical, create a shopping high and lead to even more purchases. Some individuals have a history of other impulsive or addictive behaviors. The warning signs are spending much of your income on unnecessary items, hiding purchases, enjoying shopping more than the item themselves, using spending to cope with depression, anxiety, pain, or stress, getting a thrill from purchasing, feeling ashamed of your habit, and focusing more on shopping than other activities. Salma Hayek says, "What is important is to believe in something so strongly that you're never discouraged." Prevent colds 5 ways. The odds of catching a cold this winter are high. Every year, U.S. adults have an average of 2 or 3 colds, and children have more. But that doesn't mean catching colds and the accompanying sore throats, sneezes, and body aches are inevitable this season. 5 research-backed tips for preventing colds. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Cold-causing viruses are picked up on surfaces and stay on your skin for hours, so wash your hands regularly, lathering well with at least for 20 seconds. Wash your hands before and after putting on, touching, and taking off a face covering. Keep hand sanitizer nearby for times soap and water aren't available. Make sure to use a product that contains at least 60% alcohol. Be aware of where you put your hands. Avoid touching your face with unwashed hands. Even a few cold virus particles can infiltrate your body through your eyes, nose, mouth, and make you sick. Avoid people who are sick. Keep your distance from others with colds. If a family member has a cold, increase hand washing and avoid close contact as much as possible. Disinfect surfaces which are frequently touched. Wash toys with non-toxic soap and warm water and use disinfectant wipes on doorknobs and countertops. Health screening newborns? Answer. Newborn screening is the practice of testing all babies in their first days of life for certain serious disorders. The testing is offered in every state and is usually performed before newborns leave the hospital. After home deliveries, it can be done at home or in the doctor's office. Well, why are infants screened? Newborn screening checks for many serious diseases: sickle cell disease, cystic fibrosis, hypothyroidism, and other potential newborn conditions. Early detection and treatment can help prevent disabilities or life-threatening illnesses. How is a screening done? The test is performed by pricking the baby's heel for a few drops of blood. Most states also provide a hearing test to screen for congenital hearing loss. In addition, blood oxygen readings taken with skin sensors can screen for congenital heart disease. In some states, a repeated blood test is done when the baby is 1 or 2 weeks old. Did you know that there is a hand washing awareness week? It's always a good time, whether it is the awareness week or not, to properly wash your hands so you can prevent the spread of illness. Wet your hands with clean water and apply soap. Lather by rubbing hands together, scrubbing the backs of hands between fingers and under nails for at least 20 seconds. Rinse hands with warm or cold water. Dry them with a clean towel. Always do this before preparing or eating meals and after coughing, sneezing, and using the toilet. Carry alcohol-based hand sanitizer when you're in public places such as stores and public transit. The ergonomics of reaching overhead. Certain work responsibilities may require us to reach overhead, which can stress our necks and shoulders. This guide result in muscle and joint injuries. To prevent injury and strain, follow these ergonomic guidelines when reaching overhead. Lighten the load. If you must lift or lower a load from above, lighten it if possible. Change the progress. The process. Work overhead for shorter periods of time. Use work methods that are less labor-intensive and may reduce your time reaching overhead. Use tools and equipment that can help you, such as a drill bit or screwdriver extension. Or use a sturdy platform or an aerial lift to decrease vertical distance. Preassemble fixtures or whatever you are fitting before installing them to minimize time spent working overhead. Consider working in teams. One person can lift while the other assembles. Rotate the task until the job is complete. And take regular and frequent breaks to give your muscles time to relax. Well, here's some insight on vision and eye health. Healthy eyes and vision are precious and susceptible to many problems and changes, especially as we age. Most people are unaware of the many eye and vision disorders we might face, according to a survey by the American Academy of Ophthalmology. The Academy urges us to get smart about eye health. The Harris Poll conducted the survey online among more than 3,500 U.S. adults age 18 and older for the Academy last year. And here are some key findings. More than 80% surveyed said that they were knowledgeable about eye and vision health, yet fewer than 20% were able to correctly identify the three main causes of blindness, which are glaucoma, age-related macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. And only about a third know we do not always experience symptoms before losing vision to eye diseases. Studies suggest that people fear losing vision more than they fear cancer, stroke, heart disease, and other serious health problems. Take the following self-assessment to learn if you may be at risk for vision problems. Have you ever had an eye injury or eye surgery? Yes or no? Be aware that eye injuries and surgeries can increase your risk for eye disorder. See an eye care provider, an ophthalmologist, regularly to check on your eye and vision condition. Have you noticed a change in your vision during the past 12 months? Yes or no? Any changes in vision, such as night blindness, blurred vision, or sensitivity to light, should be reported to your eye care provider. Don't delay. Do you have persistent pain or redness in or around your eyes? Yes or no? Ongoing pain, not due to sinus problems, allergies, headache, or eye strain, can signal a serious eye problem. If your eye hurts continuously, get emergency care. Do you have diabetes? Yes or no? People with diabetes are at risk for diabetic retinopathy, an eye disease that harms blood vessels in the eye. If you have diabetes, eye experts say you need a dilated eye exam annually or as often as your provider advises. Do your children get regular eye exams too? Yes or no? Kids are susceptible to nearsightedness, amblyopia, lazy eye, and eye infections. Left untreated, these problems can interfere with reading, focusing, and learning. Detecting and treating problems early give children the best chance for healthy vision long term. Don't put off seeking eye care from an ophthalmologist trained to identify possible threats to your vision. Glasses, contact lens, LASIK, and other procedures can be used to restore good vision. And news for contact lens wearers. As of June 2020, physicians are required by the Federal Trade Commission to provide patients with a copy of their contact lens prescription. This allows patients to comparison shop for their lenses, according to the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Top dollar tip, subscription boxes. Having a difficult time deciding what to give friends and loved ones? Subscription boxes offer a budget-friendly way to try products before making full-size purchases. Most boxes offer monthly subscriptions with 4 to 6 sample-size products. Contexts include food, home and hobby, and personal grooming products. You can also get boxes for pets, for the animal lovers in your life. Most boxes cost $10 to $20 a month. Subscribers can customize their boxes to suit their preferences. Subscription products can be physical or digital, such as newspapers and magazines. And now it's time for Dr. Zorbra's Corner. Zorbra Pastor MD talks about immunizations. Immunizations are crucial for good health in adults too. Besides the annual flu shot, adults need a booster of DTaP or DT every 10 years. Besides tetanus, adults can get diphtheria and pertussis, also known as whooping cough. 2 pneumonia shots, PCV12 and PPSV23, and 2 doses of shingles, zoster shot, which is 97% effective. The zoster vaccination is recommended for age 50 and older and can prevent anyone who has had chickenpox from developing shingles, a reaction of chickenpox that causes painful rashes. The side effects of shots are minuscule compared to the benefit. Vaccination is one of the best investments you can make for good health. The Healthy Buzz. Do you add a squeeze of honey to your tea when you're feeling under the weather? Turns out there may be some science behind your go-to home remedy. Researchers from Oxford University recently published a review of studies related to the efficacy of honey in reducing symptoms of upper respiratory infections. The review found honey to be effective in reducing cough frequency and severity, and suggested it may be preferable to over-the-counter medications in treating coughs and colds. Honey has also been known and shown to reduce oxidative stress in the body, help maintain clear arteries, support healthy gut bacteria, and provide essential minerals like phosphorus, calcium, potassium, and magnesium. Buy honey from your farmer's market for local flavor. Live the plant life. Being in nature has some pretty big health benefits, like lowering stress and enhancing immune function. But did you know that bringing plants indoors has a slew of benefits too? One study showed that the presence of live plants in hospital rooms may accelerate healing after surgery. And research from Texas A&M University found that being around houseplants and flowers help people problem solving and creativity in the workplace. Finally, they can also add a bit of humidity to your atmosphere, which is good for combating that dry winter air. Plants to pick. Joyce Mast, horticulture expert and plant mom at online plant delivery services Bloomscape, shares easy to care for options. ZZ plant. Native to East Africa, this is considered to be one of the most resilient houseplants out there. It only needs watering once a month and can be placed in any type of light other than direct sunlight. Snake plant. This beauty adapts to just about any environment, and it thrives in direct sun, but will do just fine in dimmer light. And ponytail palm. This bulb-like trunk on this tree stores moisture, which means you don't have to water it very often. A healthy drink once a month will do. Plus, it grows slowly and thrives in the winter dry air. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Tony Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Need help? Know someone who does? If you or someone you care about are feeling overwhelmed with emotions like sadness, depression, or anxiety, or you feel like you want to harm yourself or others, call 911. Call the Disaster Distress Helpline at 800-985-5900 or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, in honor of Martin Luther King Day, we present Selma.
Mr. President, in the South, there have been thousands of racially motivated murders.
We need your help, Dr. King.
This thing's just going to have to wait.
It cannot wait.
You've got one big issue, I got 101.
You will not tolerate agitators attempting to orchestrate a disturbance in this state.
White, black, and otherwise, come to Selma.
I heard about the attack of innocent people. I couldn't just stand by.
Looks like an army out there.
My eyes have seen the glory.
What happens when a man stands up, says enough is enough?
David Oyelowo, Oprah Winfrey, and Cuba Gooding Jr. star in the audio-described Selma, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. He don't know what he's asking. When he tells me I better get in line, I can't hear what he's saying. When I grow up, I'm gonna make it mine. These ain't dues I've been paying. How much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine. Sunshine, sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. Working starts to make me wonder where fruits of what I do are going. He says in love and war all is fair, but he's got cards he ain't showing. How much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine. Sunshine, sunshine, come on back another day. I promise you I'll be singing. This old world, she's gonna turn around. Brand new bells will be ringing.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 53 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading articles from today's USA Today, Thursday, January 14th, 2021. Under the Moneyline column, first, Target will be closed this Thanksgiving. Talk about planning ahead. Target has